Welcome to the Human Advisor Podcast. This series is brought to you by Altruist, the first ever fully integrated digital brokerage platform for fiduciary financial advisors. No commissions, no fees, and no biases. The way it should be. Check out humanadvisorpodcast.com for new episodes. Now let's get into today's episode.
Welcome to the latest edition of the Human Advisor Podcast. I am your host, Tyrone Ross. We have a very special edition. The boss is in the house, and we have some special guests with us. As you will see, I'm joined by Jason Wenk, Justin Castelli, and Taylor Schulte of the Advisor Growth Community. We are going to get into some discussion about the venture that these gentlemen started and really get you guys to understand why, especially if you're an advisor, why this is an important initiative. And I have some help, so we should have a really good conversation. Gentlemen, welcome.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, man, I get like one out of five show appearances, and that's it. So my limit's going to be struck.
I feel special that we get Jason here.
So. Yeah, it's true. I need a hat.
I need an ounce of his hat.
So let's jump right in. I mean, here's what I want to do. I think what we need to do is get people to understand the importance, right, of the genesis of why you guys started this, right? There are a lot of advisors that are watching this across the country that feel lonely, that don't have that wirehouse structure to kind of help them grow. But just talk to us and explain a little bit about the genesis of the idea. Obviously, we know you guys well, but how it came together, you know, how you guys actually formulated and what the, you know, the end game is.
So I'll give you the start. Yeah. And it actually was not anything we thought, like, at least I thought it from the get-go. So I've known Taylor for a while. Twitter is how we got connected. We're both in a study group together. And I came up with the idea of doing a newsletter. So Taylor's a genius when it comes to marketing. I've really got into branding. And I didn't think I could do a newsletter myself, but maybe collectively we could put together something out once a month and partner up on it. So I hit him up and said, hey, I've got an idea. Let's do a newsletter together. And his response back was, I like the idea, but what do you think about a community? And as soon as he said community, like the light bulb went off, because at that point of my overall journey, I kind of transitioned that for my RIA, I wanted to work with entrepreneurs. And my end goal was to create a community of my entrepreneurial clients. Like I wanted it to be an indie. If you were an entrepreneur, you wanted to be my client because that was the only way to get into this community. So community was always going to be something I was building. I was looking over here at clients when actually advisors were what needed to be. And when Taylor said that, I was like, all right, let's figure it out. And then from there, he had all the logistics figured out.
Kind of.
Well, I think what's interesting is, you know, you mentioned wirehouse advisors and yeah. having a structure. What we found out is kind of the opposite. We have wirehouse advisors in our community because right. they too feel like they're on an island. You know, right. they're in their own little office or cubicle in the wirehouse trying to figure it out, trying to grow their business, and they have nowhere to go for support.
Right.
And you know, one of the things that Justin and I have talked a lot about is like, we're not competitors. We're all helping each other and collaborating and learning from each other. And that type of environment and mentality doesn't seem to exist in the wirehouse. Like I grew up in the wirehouse world yeah. and it was like every person for themselves.
Right.
We were competition even inside the branch. And so some yeah. of these advisors are craving collaboration with their peers. And yes, there are other communities and networks out there. Some of them exclude a large number of advisors for having certain fee structures. And so we just created this place for some of these people that do feel like they're on an island and they want to learn from their peers. And that's kind of how it started.
Because once we started going down the path of what it would look like and what we'd be doing, ultimately it was something that we decided like we would have wanted this earlier in our career and we still want it today.
Yeah.
And I think going back to other communities that are out there, that I think the unique thing about the AGC is that it's community first. Like a lot of the other communities, they end up being a byproduct of something else, whether it is business model or if it's a coaching program or something like it. There was something else that brought people together, and then the community was a byproduct. And I think what's unique is people are coming to this, advisors are coming to this because they want that collaborative environment. They want to be where people are like-minded. And it's not an echo chamber per se. It's just we all are interested in growing. And I think a key is not just professionally, but personally. And I think that's another difference is we're trying to make sure that we're not just growing as good business people, but also as good parents and husbands and wives and spouses. And like we're collecting, we're making sure that that's a balance between there. And that's another thing that's different. And everybody that's in there, I feel like that's one of the things that really drew them to it above and beyond just the being around like-minded people.
Right. So what's the criteria? You need to be an advisor? Do I need a particular AUM?
Nope, you need a CRD number. CRD. And actually, so we have an advisor in Canada, so they don't have CRD numbers up there. But that's the only requirement. So doesn't matter fee structure, doesn't matter CFP, doesn't matter number of years of experience, $1 billion in assets, $0 in assets, it doesn't matter. It's more about you are an advisor. And I think the other thing is, it's harder to judge, but it's just a mindset. Like, you are interested in growing, you realize that we're not competitors and we can all learn from each other, and you're willing to share. Like, I don't think that the community is going to be a success if everybody comes in wanting to take and not give.
Right.
And so far, it's been a lot of giving.
Now, is it daily calls or weekly? Like, what? So if I get in, what does it look like day one? How does that go?
Go, Taylor.
I'll talk all day. So
we do weekly workshops and webinars every Tuesday from 10 a.m. to 11:30. So 90 minutes where we all come together live on Zoom. Everyone turns their cameras on so we can see each other.
East Coast or West Coast time?
That is West Coast time. Yeah.
I thought so.
The only coast. Yeah.
I kind of knew that.
And the idea was that we didn't want it to be Justin and I leading this conversation. Everybody in the community has something special and unique to offer. And so we're actually using Zoom meeting rooms, which means everybody can talk and engage and communicate. So everyone's on camera, people can unmute themselves, chime into the conversation. If we have a guest speaker, if you're in there speaking to our group, our member Scott can unmute his microphone and ask you a question.
Oh, wow.
Okay. So, we don't have to do the chat box thing or anything like everybody is a part of this conversation. And so I think that's one of the unique things. So every Tuesday we have a workshop or a lecture or a webinar, whatever you want to call it. We're all there to learn. It could be an author coming in to speak to us. It could be somebody from the industry talking to us about technology. So the conversations will range throughout those different topics. I say, it's like one third practice management, one third marketing branding, and one third kind of personal development. Like, how can we be better people? And I would just argue, like, if I can be a better friend and a better spouse, I'm naturally going to be a better advisor to my clients too. Oh, so, yeah.
I love that.
And we're also having members lead the Zooms as well. So we're going to, Taylor and I may lead one, we'll have a guest, but then we're also having members that have a specialty or something they're doing very well. Because again, we want to learn, they're leading. So it's not like us doing it. Like right now, we have one going on as we're recording, and Ashby Daniels is leading it.
That's awesome.
He's talking about leveraging a niche and how to use that for marketing and growing your business. Like, that's what he does. He's an expert in it. I don't have a niche, so why would I try to give that talk when we have somebody in the community to do it?
Which leads me to this, by the way, young advisors out there.
I know this is going to be.
It is a niche until you find what it is you want to do, then it becomes a niche.
And I do want to plug real quick, because I'm real excited about the guest speaker series we've started out. So pretty much all of them for this year have been announced publicly. So we started off, Kay Hee spoke last week, which was awesome. And that was more of a personal, like, how do you find that balance and, realize that it's not all about money and create this life that you really want. So that was more of the personal. Danny Fava is going to talk about artificial intelligence.
Awesome.
Kristen Schmidt is going to talk about, like, building the right stack. Annie Duke is coming in to talk. Rory Sutherland, who wrote the book that I love this year, that you follow me on Twitter, like I put out there. Like, the speaker series.
Who's coming to talk about crypto?
Probably eventually you.
All right.
I think part of the goal with the speaker series is eventually we're going to have those, FinTwit heroes that are out there. We're going to have Kitsis. We're going to have Carl. Well, hopefully we'll have Kitsis and we'll have Carl, those guys on. I don't see why they wouldn't. But if we just kept on bringing in the same people that we're interacting with and reading every day on Twitter,
good point,
we're not really growing. So if we can bring a Rory Sutherland, who is a marketing genius from the UK that has nothing to do with finance, to come in and talk to us advisors about the behavioral side of marketing, like, it's a totally different lens that we're looking through, and it's going to resonate way more than having me talk about what I think is the right way to do branding. So I think that the speaker series is something I'm real excited about, and from being somebody trying to build this community, I like the challenge of trying to track these people down and you can try to get them to come on. So it's kind of cool.
Yeah, I think it's awesome, by the way. So just since I haven't said a word yet, I'm sitting here like learning and loving this. I think you and I are the elder statesmen in this group, semi same demographic. So all probably came up in the business in different ways, but around the same time. And so I'm like excited that somebody's taking the initiative to do something, because like you guys, I wish this would have existed 10, 15, even 20 years ago. And what's interesting is while there are other communities, there are other networks, what I find so fascinating was like even like the genesis of like how the word got out, like basically the way you launched it, right? And you created a buzz, you then created like an opt-in, then you created anticipation, you launched, and these are like all actual very practical lessons that an advisor should probably be using in their practice. And then from a sort of a building perspective, I love like the collective concept, where it's not like just you guys show, oh, that'd be great too. It's this idea of people being involved, because part of what makes a community really work is engagement. People aren't going to be particularly engaged if they're not asked to contribute.
Right.
And so I'd love to like know a little bit, like if you even back up before you started AGC, like what were your last 5 or 10, like what was it that I guess culminated into this frustration? So like, where were you trying to learn from? What were the biggest roadblocks you ran into? I know you have different practices and you came together as friends through Twitter, but you know, sans Twitter, which seems like all FinTwit connections are made nowadays, like how did you connect with other advisors? And I think like getting into that lead-in is going to be really important, because there'll be hopefully some like, you know, I think like evolution of sorts in the way that technology connects people, humans interact. And I don't know who that next wave is, but there's some advisors out there today that are like, you know, 22, 25, whatever, and they're going to have to kind of carry the baton, you know, at some point. And so I'd love to hear like how you got to where you are and then how that might inspire that next generation of really, really, you know, impactful advisors.
Well, so I said I grew up in the wirehouse world. I was there for about 6 years. And again, it was really competitive, which is probably good, like starting out my career to have that competitiveness to build my business. When I launched my firm in 2014, I don't know why, but like I told myself, all of a sudden one day I woke up, I told my wife, you know what, every single week going forward, I'm gonna have coffee, lunch, a beer after work, whatever, with another advisor in our community, once per week going forward. And she was like, the heck you are, like, why would you go and, you know, do this with your competitors? But I started to do it. And I learned so much from the people around me, these conversations that we were having and the technology that they were using in the business and the processes. And it was just like really, really impactful conversations that I was having with other advisors. So I've done that every single week for the last 5 years. And now it's turned into like 5 or 6 meetings per week with other advisors. And so in launching the community, going back to your question is, I wanted to kind of take that to the next level. I wanted to make it easier for all of us to connect and collaborate. For me, I had to pick up the phone. I had to chase people down via email and LinkedIn and set up these meetings and coffees and everything. It took a lot of time. Where now we can bring people together online. We have an advisor in Canada, you know, across the country. We're connecting everybody and making it really, really easy to have those conversations. So that's kind of how it started for me, is like I realized how beneficial it was to learn from other advisors. And it just started to hit me like, we're not competitors. Like there's plenty of business to go around here. And I wanted to make it easier for everybody to connect. So yeah, that's kind of how, and then obviously you mentioned Twitter and FinTwit and how, you know, we've all connected there. Twitter can get really noisy and it can get really chaotic. It can be really challenging to have really engaging conversations with people, especially in limited characters. And so in building our community, so we have a private, you know, think Facebook, think Twitter, but completely private, where we can have these long form conversations where someone says, hey, I'm really struggling right now, you know, at my current firm. And has anybody else gone through this before? And next thing you know, there's 15 comments from other members in the communities that I've been there and here's how I've tackled it. So the format we've created, again, makes it easy for people to come together and then facilitates these deep, engaging conversations.
I've never felt lonely in the business. We've talked about advisors feeling lonely and kind of looking for that community. But I've always felt like wherever I've always been not an outcast, but I wasn't like the other advisors there. So when I worked at a 403B company, like I knew I didn't want to be there long term. I was trying to build my way out. I looked at it more about financial planning, not hitting sales goals and other things. Like I didn't identify with anybody else there. And at the time, I couldn't do any social media or anything because it wasn't allowed. Then I went to an independent firm and started getting my own ideas. And once I launched my firm is when I started to become more active on Twitter. And I remember a group of people on Twitter, like I kind of identified as the leaders. And I told myself that one day I want to work myself within being close to that circle so I can learn from them. Because you can learn a little bit from afar, but I want to learn from them because they're heading in the right direction. I align with their values. I'm just way early in my career starting this firm. So then it just became like the whole Twitter experience is what led me to the community aspect. Mm-hmm. So that Twitter was really where I can credit a lot of my development as an advisor over the last 5 years, whether it's reading blog posts, white papers, conversations, and then the network that I've built out. But I also look at myself as like an individual. I'm drawn to community type stuff. So I CrossFit, which is very much about the community. I have a Peloton now, very much about the community. So like a lot of the things that I really enjoy and spend my time on have a community component as well. So that's just who I am. I like to be social. And when you have yourself and one other person at your firm, you're kind of by yourself. So for me, it was just seeing the success I had with building relationships and learning on Twitter, realizing, like Taylor said, that's limited, and you have a lot of noise out there and stuff that kind of gets in your head sometimes. If you can eliminate all that and give yourself an environment to have more sharing, then that'd be a good recipe for success for everybody. So mine just stems back from just not really identifying with anybody within organizations or local, and I was already going out and about on the internet to meet people to kind of bounce ideas off and grow with.
All right. So I know separately, right? I know you do a lot of different calls with advisors, myself included. And again, I've seen on Twitter how people really liked your podcast and some of the things you were doing, especially, LinkedIn as well. So I was reading a piece here. Shout out to Patrick O'Shaughnessy. He posted a piece that I think Coastal Adventures put out. And it was from, I want to say it's like early 2000s or whatever. But they were talking about how when you have... You're building something, building a company, building a community. You don't really think about, you kind of create the future, right? You create what you want to see, but you create it by who you align yourself with. And anybody who follows me, I always talk about it matters who you stand next to. It matters who you align yourself with, because sometimes I could sit next to Jason. I have all the credibility in the world right now. I'm you know what I mean? So I don't even have to say anything, but people see him and see me like, oh, okay, well. So what I think is really powerful about what you guys have done already, and you've mentioned is as you're here, right, you already have a meeting going on. I've saw so many different people, DeSarte was just with him, and so many people already started to be attached to the community, right, already. And that's not something that you just create. Like, I think that's something that was organic. So I think that's really powerful, which leads me to this question, long-winded way of saying, when you look at our business changing by the day, right? I'm convinced that our business looks totally different in 5 days as opposed to right now, but is there any initiative, I should say initiative, but is there any hope or that you can kind of help advisors transition into a more tech-driven type of, a business model where our business is going or, and things like that? Because the shift is coming fast, right? Everybody going to zero and technology or whatever. So is that something you guys are, is it organic in the conversations or is there like strategic where you feel like, all right, we're going to help usher in the next phase of advisors moving more towards a digital future, so to speak?
I think those people are going to naturally be drawn to the community because I think our community, I would say most of us are wanting to stay ahead of the curve. So if we see that's the trend, that's what the questions are going to be, and that's what the people are going to be talking about. That's why we're having Danny come in and talk about AI and how can advisors use that. So I think that that's going to be more of an organic thing, and then maybe the structure comes from as we spend more time researching it and figuring out who do we have come in and talk, we build out more of a path and maybe bring in people to do sub-courses or something on those lines. But two, ushering the new wave of advisors in. Like one thing about this whole process of getting to the community, you mentioned the phone calls. That was another thing that led me down this path is like I have a spreadsheet of over 100 advisors I've had phone calls with over the last year. I don't have a spreadsheet of 100 prospective clients that have reached out to me. So I'm spending all this time with these advisors. I really enjoy it. But I get more satisfaction of seeing advisors I've talked to or consult with, like stepping outside their comfort zone and doing new things. And I can see that if they keep doing those things where they're going to be, like they are going to be the leaders. And I feel like I have a better opportunity to help those advisors reach their potential, whether it's helping them figure out their voice, whether it's being that voice of confidence when they're doubting themselves to push them through and push that post button for that blog post or post that first video and get over that hurdle. To me, it's exciting when I see DeSarte on The Human Advisor and see him just kill it. and know that I've been, you know, he and I have been having phone calls, and I'm not the reason he did that, but that I have been talking to him and we've been friends for a while.
Well, I know him because of you.
Right, so, and I get to see my friends and people I've talked to start to see them and see their trajectory go up. Like, I would much rather be able to say the advisor growth community launched all of these amazing advisors, and that I had a hand in that, and just providing the environment, maybe curating some of the content to help them. Like, to me, that's real exciting, is the impact that we could potentially have with the future of the profession. Because it is changing from everything from technology to business model, but I also just think the way that advisors are going to view the relationship. It's going to be more about the bigger picture items. It's going to go down the life planning process with our clients, not just retirement and college. It's about building better lives. And that's the conversations that we're all having inside the community.
Maybe the only thing I'll add is, you know, everybody's definition of growth is different. Right. And people go through different phases of their life. Like, we have advisors right now that are struggling to grow in the traditional sense, like grow their practice. We have other advisors who have no problem growing their practice. They have, you know, plenty of leads and prospects and clients, but they're trying to grow as a person, or they're trying to create more time in their life, or you know, they want to grow content, or they want to educate the public. Like, everyone has their own kind of different journey that they're on, and we want to help facilitate that journey.
And that's the beauty of the group, is because inevitably somebody in there has had some success in one of those areas. So it may not be the person you think it is, it's somebody else that's kind of quiet back there, but they've had that experience and now they chime in.
Yeah.
That's why having the community is so valuable.
Yeah, well said. I think one of the things that you mentioned about the, as it relates to technology, what I find fascinating is so those who don't know, I think most people know you guys, but you're from Indiana, yep. Fishers, Indiana, San Diego, California, Los Angeles, and New Jersey, right?
72.
Yeah, so, but the point is, and then here's the other interesting fact, like, so I actually knew of all of you guys, let's say 2 years ago, but I didn't know any of you guys 2 years ago. Right? And so we think about, like, the connections that are able to happen really via technology that then are turning into, like, human connections and can result in business or idea sharing, personal development, business development, whatever you want to call it. And those are actually, you can connect those to, like, again, technology or platforms. And what you're doing, whether you realize it or not, like, is building something that has, especially when you're talking about 100 advisors that you might talk to, is a network effect. You know, and this is where, like, you're essentially... your limitation as an individual advisor might be to serve 100 clients, like, or 150, or whatever that capacity constraint is. But if you're able to affect 100 advisors and they can go affect 150 clients, like, this network effect is so much broader. Mm-hmm. And it's something I've done a lot in my career as well. You know, so I think that it's, I just am a huge fan. You know, I think that the more we can take good people who care about clients and give them the tools and resources to grow, the compounding is so much greater than if we hoarded those ideas for ourselves and never ever shared them with anybody. And so like going right in your own backyard and doing it is pretty ballsy. But it's the same if you go on the internet and start publishing, like, hey, this works great, everybody go do it, right? But it's amazing how the more you give, you know, ironically, the more you get. People don't need to be greedy.
Yep.
And again, if technology can be something that makes some of these connections happen, that's great. In the end, though, it's the human part, you know, where once you've made the connection, you do something with it. That's really, really cool.
Yeah, it's such a backwards concept of, like, just giving all the information. Like,
how that works, giving.
My mom, yeah.
Funny thing, huh? Yeah, funny how that works.
My mom was visiting us last weekend, and she still can't, like, wrap her head around why I would do this marketing podcast for other advisors and tell them everything that I've done that's worked. Like, why would you share your secrets? But what I found is every time I share something, I get back, you know, two or three times. Like, I have advisors across the country that'll reach out to me and say, hey, that was really cool. You shared X, Y, and Z. I'm doing... you know, all this over here, like, I'm learning way more than I'm giving, which is crazy to me. Yeah. So I feel like just the more I give, the more we all give, the more we all benefit from it. But it's such like a backwards concept for most people.
If we're thinking of trying to move the profession forward, like, the, you know, our profession doesn't have the greatest reputation. We've seen that as of late, rightfully so. If we're trying to move it forward, if we help those good advisors, the real financial advisors, as Carl Richards would say, if we help them and amplify them, whether that's you tell them how to share their story, or, you know, we're sharing their blogs, or bring them on a podcast like this, the more we highlight the good advisors, the better the reputation of the profession gets. And if we're elevating their awareness and more people are finding good advisors, then our industry looks better and we all get better. So if people trust financial advisors more because they're hearing from good advisors that are doing true planning, then, you know, maybe more people reach out and we all get, what's it say, one hand washes the other, we both wash the face. Like,
shout out to Mama Ross.
Yes, yes. That's what it is. So I'm all about elevating the other good advisors, because if they rise, I'm just naturally gonna rise with them because they're making us all better. Yeah. Even in like reputationally better, not even like I'm a better advisor, because it's more people trust advisors, so now we're all doing better.
So again, talking about pushing the industry forward and the business forward, I want to be thoughtful about this transition, because the climate of our business right now is just, you know, with the whole diversity and inclusion thing and this, that, whatever. I don't want to go down that lane of, can you guys put, you know, numbers of how many advisors are. I don't want to do it that way, but I want to be very thoughtful with this. And we've had a conversation about it, right? And let's just deal with the elephant in the room. People are going to look at two white guys starting another group and go, oh, well, it's not for me. Mm-hmm. Oh, here we go again, right? And again, we talk about this personally about, and we've had a personal conversation that I won't say on camera, but I will say what I told you, because it's important to me, to people to get that side of the conversation. I told you not to worry about it, because it's my responsibility to make sure that advisors of color know that that's something that they could be a part of, as opposed to just saying, well, you know, it's out there and, well, look at this. So it's really important, right, for all groups to understand that as the business changes and shifts, the reality is this. The diversity and inclusion, which I'm tired of, needing more to representation and equality. But if it's going to change and is going to shift, it's going to be incumbent upon those of us that don't look like you to say, hey, here I have a friend of mine that's doing this, right? Samuel or other young advisors who are growing. This is something you need to be a part of. So, and again, I don't even know if it's a question, but I just want to open it up for a discussion, because I know, again, we've had this conversation personally, and I told you I would help you. Mm-hmm. And it is an initiative of mine to make sure that, because again, if you are a minority in this business, it is hard. You do need a community, mm-hmm. right? You do need a community of people who look like you, but you just need a community of people who can advocate for you, people who can position you, right? And people who can provide you the resources to grow. And again, we've had conversations with me, you and Doug, so on and so forth. So there are, I'm sure, advisors of color, right? Black advisors as well, and women who are looking at this, right? And I'm sure you want to bring everybody in. What do you guys feel as though, and I know you weren't setting out for this, but do you feel like you have the resources to get the help to make it more inclusive? And how could we help you, right? How could someone watching this help you help it grow so that, again, you feel as though at the end of the day we did something that was for everybody? And again, and without the stupid attacks is going to come, right? It is what it is. I'll address that.
I think first asking the question is a huge help, because if I'm being real, it's an awkward thing to try to address, because I'm very big about being genuine and authentic in the reason I do things and the reason we put things out there. So yes, one of our goals is to have the advisor growth community represent the future of our profession, which is multicolored, multigender. It's not old white.
Right.
We have a diverse background now. If you look at CFP, non-CFP, wirehouse, business owners, you know, the one member that didn't excite me the most, I'm excited of everybody, but that was real exciting to see, is a woman advisor who is at Merrill and was 2 weeks after passing her 7, reached out to see if it'd be a good fit, and she joined. Which is real exciting, because it's not the FinTwit community, it's not anybody we know, but it resonated with her. So we have diversity, but it could be better. It could look more like the future. But I think the key is leveraging our relationships with you know, you and people who can be advocates for us, but then making sure that when people do give the community a try, it is a warming environment. Mm-hmm. So when you come in, you realize it's not two white guys that are broing out all day long, that it really is a community that's about growth and, you know, race, gender, sex, whatever it might be, none of that matters. We're all just trying to grow, and that it is a welcoming environment, and you're not going to feel uncomfortable. There's not going to be comments in there that will make you second guess why you're there. Right. And I really do think we've done a good job to start, just from some of the feedback we've gotten internally, but also some of the shares and things I'm seeing people retweet and put out there on Twitter. I think we're doing a good job. But we talked about it. Like, do we make a big effort and say, hey, we really want this to be inclusive and address it? And my fear of that was, if I went out and said, you know, we want more black advisors. That I genuinely want that, but then it comes across as disingenuous. That you're just saying that so you can check a box, and that's not why. So I really did take your advice of just, you know, make a real good community and make it to be that when we send people there, they're going to feel like it's the right place for them. And don't worry about being very vocal with it. So I think that that's the key, is that, you know, the people that we do have in there that represent different communities, that when they're talking to their friends or somebody comes in, they're going to say that this really is a welcoming community. Right. I remember back when Dana Point, we were all there at the video, and I think it was Emlyn said that when he gets to a conference, the first person he looked for was like DeSarte, to find the person who looked like him to bring that comfort. We can't get around that. Like, that's how we as humans are. Right. But if we have that, if we have DeSarte in there and Emlyn joins, he's got that comfort, and then DeSarte can tell him, hey, this really is legit. These guys are good. The community is good and welcoming. You're going to feel comfortable and you're going to grow. And I think after we get a little bit of that done, I just think then it just takes care of itself. So the question is very helpful, but I think that it's on us and the community to be welcoming and be true to the fact that we want it to represent the future, not the past.
Right.
I think the only thing that I'll add is that for me personally, in order to build a diverse community without doing what he said, just go out there and say, hey, we want to build a diverse community. I've been doing a lot just kind of offline behind the scenes to learn and educate myself. Mm-hmm. So having phone calls with Black advisors or women advisors and talking to them about how can we create a diverse environment? Because I truly don't have the answer. And so I've just been doing a lot of learning and listening myself and getting ideas from them. So for instance, I had a long conversation with Sonia, who we all know, and she said, hey, what about you going to some of these other conferences that you wouldn't normally go to, like the Women's Summit? I think it's put on by Investment News. Like, why don't you go to the Women's Conference and go see what it feels like to be the minority at a conference and get that experience, and then take that experience back and, you know, do it what you want. So I've been learning and listening and getting some really good ideas just for myself, in order to help build a diverse community in the AGC. So,
yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, and obviously I have really strong opinions about this, and I won't get into that. But it's just important. I wanted you guys to be able to articulate that in your own way. And again, I think it's very important, right? And I continue to push this, the advocacy, right, of just saying this is something that's available. And it goes both ways, right? We need, as Black advisors, as women advisors, as LGBTQ, you need people who are the force to speak on your behalf. But also, when the people who do have the power actually make an initiative and they step forward, we then have to say, we vetted this, we align ourselves with it, right? This is something that is comfortable for all, it's inclusive, it's something that you should be a part of, and which is why it's, again, for me, for Emlyn, for DeSarte, for all of us to say, yes, this is something you should be a part of, this is something you should take part in and contribute to, right? Because then you start to change the audience that pays attention. And that's one of the things that I've been talking to conference folks about. I was like, well, okay, you can get me on stage and check your box, but if I'm still talking to the same audience, what difference does it make? Bust some Black and brown boys in, right? And have them see me speak, right? Change and tap into that market, right? So, okay, yeah, you bring on a couple, you know, Black advisors or women advisors, tap into their sororities, fraternities, sports teams, whatever the case may be. If they were collegiate athletes or whatever, now you're extending the community, right? And people who have access to it. Because the more people that can advocate for it that aren't even advisors, I think then you start to organically create, you know, that chemistry and inclusiveness. And I do agree to some extent that, yeah, when you go out and say it, it's kind of like, all right, I think that needs to happen, though, in some capacity. But when you say it, it needs to be one of us to say yes. Right. Absolutely. This is something you should do. And again, I told you, and I'll say that, you know, we haven't spoken about it personally, but just do what you're doing, man. Build it. They will come. And we'll get people there, right? And it's just important that you guys focus on what you're doing. And the one thing I love the most is that you said you're trying to help people become better people. And that's what this is about. We're all dealing with life. We're all human. We all struggle, right? But we need to support, undergird, love, appreciate, and be grateful for one another. And whatever community is doing that in a time where this country is so divisive, so be it. Get your butt in there, help somebody be a better person, independent of all the other goofiness that our business want to hang on to now. Sorry, I'm ranting. I'm sorry.
Dude, this
what
is
you got?
Super helpful,
what you
man.
Got, man? I'm sorry.
I love everything. And I think and I can obviously relate to the guys. It's a tricky spot to be a white guy in this business that actually cares, because if you go and talk about how you care, it doesn't always come across like you really care.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's, and that being said, like, that is not an excuse, and it's also not like anything. I don't think any of us ever look for empathy on that. It's like, we realize that where I grew up, it's, if you're white, you're actually a minority. But yeah. So many doors opened for me that didn't open for my friends who had every single, like, we were the exact same people. But they were Hispanic, I was white. And all of a sudden, I could go do certain things they couldn't. That's, I mean, I hate that that's the reality of, like, how I grew up. And I think that if there's things we can do to change that, you know, we of course should. But it is challenging, for sure. Talking about it and being able to talk about it openly is very important. Mm-hmm. And I think that part of the challenge we have today is that people aren't even willing to have those conversations because they're afraid of being 100%. Put on blast, you know? 100%. And it's really, it sucks, because if you get a group of people in a room who all care, and they don't care, by the way, what we look like or what we dress like or what color we are, if we're male or women, or what our preferences are, like, if none of us in that room care, all we care about is doing well for each other, doing well for clients, right? So if we're in financial community, we should be thinking about, well, how do we accelerate the access, affordability, you know, of financial advice to more people? It's a really beautiful, amazing thing, but it's hard to go do that just carte blanche openly, right? Because and it's not fair for really anybody, actually. I feel bad for the people who've been discriminated in a way that us three will never ever experience in our lifetimes, right? You, I know, have experienced that in your lifetime. And there's nothing we can do to necessarily put ourselves in your shoes. We can try as hard as we want, but it's just not reality, you know? So from my perspective, I mean, I like what, if you're building a community, I think it's important you care. You know, building a company, the stuff that I do, I try as much as I can, you know, listen, be compassionate, you know, realize that it's never going to be the same for me to experience what Tyrone's experienced or other people have experienced. But in terms of what I can control, I love, like, this phrase that I've learned from you about getting proximate. You know, so to me, it's important that I just go and, go to a women's conference. I want to go and spend time in communities that don't have resources, regardless of what color they are, they just don't have resources. So I can learn what it feels like to not have resources. I want to go and spend time with people that have had a very different, you know, sort of upbringing. Maybe it's because, again, of where they grew up or how they grew up or what color they are, what, you know, language they speak. I mean, and until you go and you get proximate, it's really hard just to read about shit and, like, actually have something get done. And so then you take that knowledge back and you then go and you do something with it, right? And so, you know, in the case of Altruist, it's like this interesting thing where we just say, look, we want to make it easy for anybody with any amount of resources to get access to a quality financial advisor. And so to do that, we have to hyper compress the cost of actually being a financial advisor, so it's easier to go help people, regardless of who those people are. I think you guys can do a very similar thing with your community, where you'll be able to build, again, sort of in a collective environment, right? You get people who maybe they are minorities and they've had the struggles, and then you find ways to make sure that other people can get connected to them, right? Because right now there's not great, easy connections of someone who struggled with something and they can connect to a mentor who they can, you know, guide them forward. And until we have, like, these kind of difficult, like, this is, like, you know, we're recording something. It's awkward just to have this conversation.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it's so important to have it. And we only ever will make progress if people are willing to at least start talking about stuff openly, realize that sometimes words will come out of our mouths that aren't perfect. And we realize that. And that's got to be okay, because we're not doing anything without sort of coming from the right spot. Like, we really do want to, I think, drive things forward. And it's, like, a very touchy subject. So I'm glad you bring it up. I mean, I'm glad that we have the platform to be able to get a message out to a very diverse group. I mean, when you look at the sort of collective followers of you guys, I've got, like, this small group of people, right? But you guys have, like, a big group of people that follow your work. It's important that more people hear about these 100%. Conversations, because hopefully it'll get at the point where people feel more comfortable, and then progress can slowly start happening in a way that's meaningful. I think it'd be remiss for me not to say that a challenge in this industry is that the typical client of a financial advisor is an old, rich, white guy.
Yeah.
Right? So, you know, that has to change. Mm-hmm. If that doesn't change, then the group of people going to become financial advisors is going to never change.
Yep.
And so it has to be just like the inclusivity of the people giving financial advice. It has to be inclusive of, like, the people who need financial advice. And I think that's why, like, you know, we talk about technology. I saw you had some tweets on Jack Dorsey's latest, innovation with Cash App. And So there are companies out there that are saying, look, we have users, very diverse group of users, large, huge group of users, and we're going to give them access to tools. The actual human financial advice community has to do the same. Yeah. Where we have to say, look, we're going to be more accessible. And to do that, we have to have different tools. If we don't do that, then again, it's going to always be this like 80% or whatever it is, like, you know, old white guys serving other old white guys.
Yeah.
So I'm hopeful that, again, I'm really excited about what you'll be able to do with the group. Obviously, any way that I can help, I know any way that Daron can help. I mean, we're just here to be, you know, kind of messengers to get the word out. I do want to shift gears a little bit just because I think it's really important to talk about
Before you challenges. Do though, I just want to let everybody know that Jason was the first one to cuss on the podcast and he's the only one that can. So for future guests, watch your mouth. My mother watches this. Whoops. No, you got
Listen, it's just a cuss word in my vocabulary, but I will be
that's why I said cuss. That's why I said cuss. It's different from curse.
Lovely. All right. So now that we know, no swearing, guys.
Yeah.
But on a very serious note, so you're building a community. You have a large group of advisors that follow your work, that you're friends with. Tyrone has a large group of people that you work with, financial advisors. We've been doing surveys of thousands of advisors here. So I'm curious, like, just kind of real quick, like, what's the number one problem that advisors come to you hoping you can help them solve? So we'll start with you, Justin, since you said you could talk forever.
Yeah, I think, well, for me personally, it's a lot about telling the story. So what I've figured it out, like, I have no background in any of this stuff. But remember, I come from financial the whole way where I couldn't do any content. I just knew I wanted to do it, and I just started doing it for fun. I think I'm able to help an advisor figure out their story. And it's not so different than walking the client through a financial plan. Like, the end result is not a financial plan with numbers, but it's a plan to communicate. So a lot of advisors are looking for, now that I'm independent, you know, the restraints are gone from what I'm allowed to do to tell my story. I see it's working for other people. How do I do it? And it's hard to begin to communicate your story, like telling your story, like building a personal brand. I'm a big believer. I think everybody has a personal brand, they just don't know it. And basically, it's your reputation. So if we look at what is your reputation and what do you want your reputation to be, if they're not in line right now, first off, how do you make your actions line back up? And then how do you tell people who you are? So it's really just about putting yourself out there, communicating who you are as an advisor, what your values are, what the client experience is like, and then who you are as a person, because people work with people that they like. So you need to bring a personal component to it. So I think right now, a lot of younger, but even there's a lot of older advisors as well. A lot of advisors are really interested in telling their story, breaking away from the wirehouse brands or the bigger brands now that they're in a position to, and they want to put themselves out there to attract the right clients for them. And getting started can be intimidating. You know, getting in front of a camera isn't always the easiest thing to do. Starting to write, we all doubt ourselves. So that right now is a big focus for advisors, and that spills into marketing. So once you do that, how do you distribute it? How do you get it out there? What are the right channels? Like, but I think the hardest thing is finding that message and telling that story. And that's what a lot of advisors are looking for.
I'd put just a little bit different of a twist on that. I think that advisors in general are helpers. Like, we want to help people. We want to help people with their finances. We want to help educate. Like, we just want to help. And what I found kind of similar to what Justin's saying is we all have something to say. Like, we all want to put something out there and educate and help. And we see people like Justin doing video and podcasting and you doing your walk and talks and Twitter videos and all the podcasts where, like, advisors sitting there like, I want to do, like, I have something to say inside of me. I don't know what it is, right? I need help telling that story. Or I'm just terrified to hit record. I'm terrified what other people might think if I say something wrong, if somebody doesn't like me. And so I think the biggest thing that I see is, like, people are just terrified to just hit the publish button and get their voice out there. Yeah. I also think sometimes advisors get stuck with, Justin's doing video. Video seems like the hot thing. I better do video. And I've been kind of pounding the pavement saying, look, what are you good at? What do you really enjoy doing? And go and do that. Like, if you just love public speaking, go and do public speaking. Like, if you're really good at it and you enjoy it, like, go do that. You don't have to do a podcast because everybody's doing a podcast. So finding that kind of, like, natural medium that feels good to you and energizes you. Like, if you walk out of here feeling energized today, like, it probably tells you something that you enjoy doing this stuff. So motivating these advisors to hit publish, not care what anybody thinks, get their message out there, educate whatever their goal is, and then finding that platform for their voice, because we all like have this burning desire to say something, and a lot of advisors end up doing nothing.
Yeah, you're right on picking the one that you're most comfortable with, because it all goes back to being genuine and authentic.
Yeah.
If you're trying to force yourself to do video and you're not comfortable, it's going to come across that way, and you're not going to appear as professional, or people are going to realize that that's not really you. But if you're on there and you're real excited and you can tell that you're really enjoying it, that's gonna, people are gonna pick up on that. And it's just something subtle with the way you're presenting yourself.
Yeah.
So you find the one thing that you are most comfortable with, and also that you enjoy, because it takes time, it's a commitment. So you gotta enjoy what you're doing, your best work comes out that way. Don't try to follow it. I mean, that's what I did early on that was a mistake. Like, I knew I wanted to write, but there were people that I really looked up to and wanted to write like them, and I tried to write like them, and it was garbage. And then I just wrote my way, and that's when the success. And that was the big wake-up call for me, was you don't have to be anybody else. You can see the strategy that they're using, but then you implement that strategy your own way, what works with you. And then once you hit that comfort zone, it gets easier. And once you start doing one thing for a while, then it's easier to go try to do something else, because you've got that confidence, you've got the success, you know what the ramp up is like, and then you can go try something else. Mm-hmm. And I've tried things and failed at it and just shut it down. No big deal.
Yeah.
Like, I'm struggling with my flash briefing. Like, I'm not as consistent as I should be. I'm determined to get it to work, because voice. I think it's the future. He told me that a while ago, but that came from doing the podcast and then spinning over. So it's okay to try things. And the good thing is, it's like, when you first get started, that fear thing, no one's gonna read it anyways. So hit publish, get comfortable hitting publish. Mom and dad are gonna read it, your wife or husband's gonna read it, and that's about it for a while. And then by the time you're hitting your groove, that's when it starts to circulate, and now your better work is out there and people are finally reading it.
So two quick things, and then I can't let you guys get out of here without answering my question that everyone asked. So the first thing is, for advisors that are out there, or just anyone in general who aren't, like myself, you aren't particularly talented in any of those areas, but you have a story. If your story is your brand, if your story is your talent, I think you lead with that. And whatever way you can use to tell your story and lead with that, I think is important, whether that's writing, whether it's video, whatever. For me, it's just being raw and uncut, flicking on live and just talking, right? So for anyone out there that's like that, because I get a lot of those DMs, if you have a story and your story is your talent, your brand, the one thing that you're good at to separate you from everybody else, lean on that. The second thing is, here's the thing that I think is also, really important that I want everybody to understand, and for you guys, which I think is really, really cool, is, and just going back to before, just a bit of a commercial. So it's speaking about advocacy and community. So Justin constantly reaches out, because I want people to know the type of people that you are, right? And why this is so important. Justin constantly reaches out to me, not on anything business related, just to see if I'm okay. Taylor, we DM, and we have conversation, but again, being an advocate behind the scenes for myself. And I want to say, was it two or three Fridays ago, you just called me and was like, how are you, right? How are you doing? How are you holding up? So I think
I'm still on DM. I don't have the cell phone.
I don't know, man. But we'll get to that. But I just thought that was the way you wanted to do it. But no, we'll do that. But the point in that is, I think, obviously your community is something that you've guys started, but extends beyond that. And just to tie up the point that we were talking about before, for any minority advisor, any advisor in general, these are the type of people that are out there who want to help you. That goes beyond your AUM, that goes beyond your practice, that goes beyond who you are, where you are. There are people who are truly committed to pushing the industry forward. And again, which is why I say that old Wall Street is, gasping for air right now. So super excited about that. So I just wanted to do that commercial really quickly for the three of them, but especially for you two. So I appreciate you all. Appreciation is what this is all about anyway. And these are the type of people that you'll be aligning yourself with. And I think there's a lot of people on the other end of the cameras right now screaming up, shouting, because you guys are solid individuals. So here we are. I need to know right on the spot. Justin, we'll start with you.
All right.
What is a lot of extra time to think about.
Yeah,
your answer.
What is the one thing that you are most grateful for that's never worked out for you?
So I've thought about that because I've listened to all the podcasts, and I know that's the question.
We appreciate you. So, hit that subscribe button, by the way.
So even before I found out we were going to have this opportunity, I've always thought about that. And the answer is, I'm glad that we talked about sports earlier. So I played Division III basketball, stayed in Indiana. I'm glad that it didn't work out that I played Division I. Like, growing up, my goal was I wanted to play professional. I was realistic. I wanted to play in Europe. I knew NBA was not it. I figured I could go to Europe. But I had opportunities to try out for, you know, being a walk-on at Division I schools, and I went to Division III school. And the reason I'm glad Division I did not work out is because at Franklin College is where I met Ange. So Ange is my wife. And if I was at a Division I school, maybe I didn't meet her, so then I don't, like it's the butterfly effect. You ever see that movie with Ashton Kutcher, and like he goes back and changes one thing, and it changes the trajectory of his life? Like, if I wasn't at Franklin and didn't meet her friend and we didn't meet, then I may not have gone out on the what's it, Wednesday before Thanksgiving, where I ran into a high school friend, which is where I got my first job in the profession. And like, everything spirals from Ange and I meeting in Franklin because I played Division III. So now I fast forward, I don't have Roman, Leo, or Silas. I don't have RLS Wealth Management. I may not even be in financial planning. And I live a pretty good life. Like, I'm very happy. I don't have a lot of things I would change. So missing Division I, as much as I wanted that to be like the career that I had, I'm glad I didn't, because I know I wouldn't be here today, because that one variable would have changed things, and I have no idea what I would have done. I have no idea where I would be. So that's the main one for me.
So shout to Ange, by the way. Ange is very special. Here's why. Short of Jesus coming back to earth, I don't miss college football for anybody. But when I first met her, she was like, you have to come out to dinner with us. And I missed a very good Texas game because of it. So shout to Ange. She's special. All right. You have some time, my man. What do you got? First thing that comes to mind. Don't think too long. First thing that comes to mind.
Yeah. I don't have the best answer for this. So what I think I'm going to say is, I didn't face a lot of adversity growing up. I didn't face a lot of adversity in my 20s. Life was just kind of a straight line. I, you know, got a great job out of school. I was building a nice business. I met my wife really young. We got married at 27. We made good money. We traveled. We had a lot of fun. Awesome. We bought our first house. And we were just like, this is, you know, we're very grateful people, you know, right? But we bought our first house, our life savings went into this thing, and within a few weeks, this house started to fall down. So the house wasn't built right, foundation was falling apart. And long story short, we spent 3 years in a lawsuit. We maxed out all of our credit cards, paying legal bills. Our financial life was a mess. She had left her job, I had started my business. And literally, our house was falling down. Our credit cards were maxed out. Like, we were in real financial trouble for the first time in our lives. And every day, we would just come home and look at each other and just say, things could be way worse. And we're very thankful for everything we have and our health. And it was just, I bring this up because it was the first time in my life where I faced real adversity. And I realized life is not a straight line. And it taught me to be really, really grateful for the things I had. And it really shaped the future of my marriage with my wife and the friends that I have around me. And it just taught me a really valuable life lesson early on that I've carried on, into my career, into my 30s, and, you know, with having kids now and everything else. So it's just a point in my life that I'm very, very thankful for, that it didn't work out. That's what I was sharing.
So I know, what was it, Sesame Street or Fraggle Rock, where there was like the key word and everybody would go crazy? You said grateful. So we're going to sew it up there. You going to answer? You got an answer for us?
I already answered this once upon a time. But let me just say that, so I really appreciate you guys like sharing. And the questions you asked are beautiful. Sharon said something a few minutes ago, right, about being your true and authentic self, you know, telling your story. You know, you guys are talking about like the struggle, people are having a hard time hitting the publish button, like knowing like what their why is and, you know, they should sort of share with the world. But it's the power of doing it is really, it's magical. Because I think about, the butterfly effect, right? When we decided here, we're like, hey, we really want to have a show. And we call it a podcast, but it's become really a show, you know? And the very first person that came to mind that is like, you know who would be the most perfect representation of like what we want this show to be? Is Tyrone Ross Jr. Now, I would have never had any idea who you were if you weren't telling your story. And right. and people will make these judgments because we want to work with people we know, like, and trust. And so for us, in like kind of thinking like what this show was going to become and kind of how we wanted to be able to get people to be open and share things otherwise might not feel comfortable with, I think it just goes to show the power of that. And then thinking about like the people who are on, I mean, again, if you guys weren't willing to step out of that comfort zone a little bit, even admitting, by the way, that, hey, life's been fairly good.
Yeah.
It's not like you've done, here's the thing, you've probably done a lot of really hard things still. And so people still, no matter like where our place is, if we come out and we are willing to be, you know, a little bit vulnerable, do something that is not the easiest thing in the world to do, like it's amazing the connections and things that can happen. So I will say like, yeah, I've got a million things that didn't work out in life, but I've got way more than I could ever ask for. Great family, friends, health, and just, you know, really couldn't be more happy. And really glad with how the last couple of years have made like so many connections because of people going out and being their true, open, authentic self and hitting the publish button, you know, creating communities, making it easy for people to connect. So just want to say, you know, thanks you guys for that. I think we should make sure we give you guys a chance to tell people like, where do they go right now? Are you on a, are you opening again soon? I know I've had people reach out to me directly going, I need a coach, consultant, helper, friend, community, right, to help me make these difficult decisions like transitioning from a warehouse to an RIA, building a tech stack, how do I do it? All these types of questions, and I can't think of a place I'd rather send them to than to you guys. So anyway, so how do we get people to find out more about Advisor Growth Community, and then when can people expect to be able to join if you're currently on a wait list at the moment?
Go ahead, this is your thing.
So we're currently working with our beta group of 50 advisors right now, kind of shaping the future of the program. In January, we are going to reopen enrollment for everyone to join. So on January 1st, we'll reopen enrollment. So any advisor that wants to join or apply, advisorgc.com is where everybody can go and learn more about the community, the benefits, what to expect, join the wait list, join the email list, get more information. In January, we haven't even announced this yet, but in January, we got confirmation that David Perel is going to be joining us. Right. So
Free jewelry for
advisors that join us in January going forward, we have David Perel joining us in January to come and drop his knowledge and wisdom on us. So going to be really, really awesome. And then we have a great content calendar built out for the rest of 2020. So advisorgc.com, all the information is there.
I'd also say just reach out on Twitter. And we both love having these conversations, even if it leads to, you know, somebody not joining the AGC. I really enjoy talking to advisors, and that really excites me. So, you know, reach out on Twitter, hit us on a DM. I think my DMs are open. Here they are. So just reach out and then just ask questions. I think sometimes people, when they look at a community, and, you know, you have to pay to be in this community, and it's not, I wouldn't say it's prohibitively expensive, but it's not cheap either. People kind of want to know, well, what am I going to get for it? And I think the website could tell you a lot, but, you know, ask us. Like, we're happy to tell you about it. If you ask me, I'm going to ramble for a long time because I get excited. Like sharing the mic is hard because I just want to go and sort of command it. But you know, just reach out to us because we enjoy those conversations, answer questions, and we really want to make sure that those members that join, it's a good fit. Like, we don't want somebody just to join. Like, we want to make sure it's something that you're going to get value out of. And if you have all the information beforehand to understand it, then I think you're going to go in and know what it is.
And apparently the swag is limited because I don't have a T-shirt.
Yet.
And yet. And since we're plugging stuff, we're all in a plugging mood. Go out there, subscribe to the Human Advisor Podcast. Go to YouTube, smash that like button. We appreciate you. And by the way, we are super, super, super appreciative of everyone that has sent a kind word, that have posted messages, that have retweeted, that continue to get this message out there. We are extremely grateful and appreciative. I think you would agree, the whole team would agree. And one of the things that I always want to say this and I forget, and I want to make this the point to do it. There are so many people, talented, brilliant, hardworking people behind the scenes that make sure this comes together. So shout out to all of them. We're appreciative of everybody that has something to do with this. And we'll see y'all on the next one. We appreciate you.
Thanks. Thanks, guys.
Yeah.
This was another episode of the Human Advisor Podcast. Visit humanadvisorpodcast.com for new episodes. And be sure to check out altruist.com to learn more about the first ever fully integrated digital brokerage platform for fiduciary financial advisors. No commissions, no fees, and no biases. The way it should be.